Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the How We Scaled show, brought to you by Jeff Brandeis Coaching and Training. And of course, I will be your host today, Rye Russell, and I am always so excited and honored to meet the entrepreneurs that are moving the world forward. There's amazing journeys and stories, and I hope so many of you in our audience, you send us amazing messages about the insights and the value that you receive from this show, and I promise our next guest is no exception. And so I'm really excited to introduce Aiden. Aiden, thank you so much for making time for me today.
Not the least. I'm excited as well. So let's see what sparks we can generate together.
Well, Aiden, I've always appreciated disruptive thinking. And so I love meeting others with disruptive thinking. And I want to start by asking you, because you've literally written the book on disruptive thinking. So I would like to start there and learn a little bit about your book and the collection of ideas that you share with us.
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. Thank you. So about a short time ago, a couple of decades ago, I joined an entrepreneur. His name was Pierce Lyons in Kentucky, of all places. And he was building a business. When I joined him, the turnover of that business was $24 million. And when he passed away, sadly, about 2 years ago, the business had grown to $2.4 billion. Wow. So while I was there in my 20-odd year career, he had me work with him in Ireland, as you could tell from my accent. He had me work in France. I lived in France for 2 years. I lived in Brazil. I worked in all over Asia, particularly China, and then 50 countries in Europe, not least the United States. So after that process of seeing how that grew, we were using a method called 2143. 2143 is literally a method, as you say, a way to plan for disruption. It was very successful in the company I worked for, Alltech, and I brought that to startups, other corporations, even worked with some governments, and then I've published a book, which is at 2143plan.com. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it on the website even cheaper at a discount. And literally, that is the book, as you say, on disruption. So now in my current career, where I'm working directly with startups, where I'm a CEO of a startup, where I've started my own investment advisory called AgriTech Capital out of Wilmington, North Carolina, 2143 is a method I use to help people really grow, scale their business quickly, and engage in this transformation, which we're seeing in every aspect of business today.
Incredible. Can you give us any secret insights to what 2143 stands for?
Of course. It would be better if you bought the book, but nonetheless, let's start off. So typically, I would say that in a very simple way, everybody, when they sit down to say, what am I going to do in 2021? What am I going to go and do 2022? You normally say, where were we? Where are we now? What road are we on? Where are we going to get to? And I call that one, two, three, four. And what I've said is you need to disrupt that, because if you think of what's happened with the way Uber's changed the business of taxis, if you think the disruption took place in the movie houses as Netflix came, if you think of banks that have no money, if you think of people selling you apps that never write the apps, disruption is all around us. So I said, don't waste your time thinking about the past. It is important, but it's actually really just needs to be used to inform today and where you're going next. So start with the point two, which is where are we today? and put your major focus on that. Then spend a little bit of time thinking about the past, but mainly as it informs today. And rather than saying I'm on this road, which is, number three, and that's going to lead to this destination, which is number four, reverse it. Think about what destination you want for, and then think about the roads that'll take you there, three. So 2-1-4-3 is a disruptive way of changing that planning process to allow you to gain disruptive growth, being of course exponential growth, and avail or open the doors to businesses and to business opportunities that you mightn't have thought of otherwise.
Incredible, because so many entrepreneurs that are in our community, Aidan, they're all disruptive thinkers. And a lot of times we need mentors with disruptive thinking, because once we go these extra layers, right, we need those mentors that have done and gone through the battles to help us kind of narrow down. And so I would love to learn more about how you have shared your expertise and brought that to Agritech Capital, because I know that you work with a number of startups, and all of them look like they contribute very disruptively to the industry. And I know that you've got some very interesting projects there. So I just love to learn more about this ecosystem surrounding Agritech Capital.
Yeah, well, Agritech Capital is involved in food and agribusinesses. And the business of food is critical for all of us. We have 7 billion people to feed today. We'll have 9 or 10 billion in the future. And while farming has been very traditional, while farming's used methods that some might argue have been the same for 6, 7, 8,000 years, the speed of innovation in farming and food is just exponential. It's extraordinary. COVID has actually, if anything, accelerated and favored that disruption. So as much as it's done lots of sad things for the world, we have seen some positives in terms of what it's doing in the food business. One of the businesses I'm involved with, which I've actually become the CEO of 2 years ago, is involved in using cameras to watch cows. We digitize the images. We use artificial intelligence to interpret it. And we send it to the smartphone, our device of a farmer, saying, your cows spent this much time eating today, this much time lying down. She engaged in this type of behavior. So that company, Quaintus, is really growing exponentially and has already got thousands of cows, tens of thousands of cows on its system. I've used this 2-1-4-3 also with a bread company in Ireland. They have seen their sales grow by fourfold in 5 years. And not just because of COVID and because we're also excited by food, but literally saying, what are the things you want to do? How big do you want to get? Where do you want to go? And started realizing we need to change the channels of distribution. We need to focus more on branding. We need to change our messaging if we wanted to make those big leaps. And what was really interesting for me in this and the other examples is that when you try to think of things that are disruptive, those big changes, those big leaps, you actually come back with fewer actions, fewer roads to get to that destination than if you looked for incremental, i.e. small changes in growth. So to grow by 30, 50, 100% a year actually revolves relatively few things you can do, whereas to grow by 1, 2, 3% a year, there are hundreds of things you can do. So in some ways, in looking for bigger breakthroughs actually involves fewer roads, as I'd call it, fewer actions, a more focused strategy in terms of what you're going to do next.
That is amazing insight, because you're right. We're always, and a lot of us, again, deciphering the words of our mentors, right? What can we do to do a little bit more every day? What can we do incrementally? Where we really, if we say, well, this is the audacious dream, this is where we need to be going and striving for, it does, it creates a more narrow path of how to achieve that, whereas an incremental gain can be so marginal.
That's entirely right. And I think those so-called BHAGs, which we heard about, you know, whenever 10, 15 years ago. But one of the key issues, certainly in corporations, but even in startups, is making sure you bring your team with you. And that's very difficult to do, as we all know. Too often the boss comes in, says, this is what we're going to do. middle management says, okay, we'll do it. And everybody else goes, no way. We're never doing that. That is never happening. What idiot came up with this idea? And they say, oh, your boss's boss's boss. Okay, he's not an idiot because he pays my salary. But still, that's not a good idea. So what we do at 2 and 4-3 is we engage with using the full team to come up with a plan. And I use a method the British government used, to, British Army, excuse me, used to use for court-martialing. I start with the most junior person in the room. And I say, tell me what goals you think are big goals that we could achieve. And then move around the room to everybody else. And I finish with the most senior person in the room, usually the boss. But what I'm doing there is I'm trying not to create goals that everybody believes will never happen. I'm trying to get goals that are big and audacious, but very much big and audacious, but at the same time are doable. And everybody comes out of that meeting feeling, you know what? I was part of that process, and I believe we can do this together. Now, the second part, which is of doing that, so firstly, you get in the meeting, then you write it down on your one pager, then you pin it up on a wall so that everybody walks by it in the break room or wherever, you know, within wherever in the building is the most visible. You use it in a very highly visible manner, because we know that if goals are said aloud, if they're written down, and if they're memorialized, they are much more likely to happen than simply if the boss gives them to you or if it's just a discussion group and we go out and we don't actually agree as to what we're going to do.
The efficiency must also increase in a formulaic fashion like that, because you're getting from execution to concept in the same room.
Absolutely. I normally allow about an hour and a half for that meeting, and I'd only do one once a year. With a group which might be 5-15 people, need to be the key people. In a startup, you're pretty much bringing everybody into the room. And in a corporation, you know, you're bringing in whatever, a division or maybe the senior management team. But I've used it even in research settings, universities, nonprofits, it's salespeople. It's just a very flexible tool. And it's been amazing to me how many times I thought, it isn't going to work today. This is not going to work today. We're not in the right mood. We've already grown a lot. Or we have no chance for growth. You know, all of those negatives. And you sit down and let the system go. And the power of what it can achieve is amazing. Consistently overperforming, over-delivering on any goals that anybody ever imagined were possible through those, you know, techniques that are, they're in the book, but still that I've mentioned to you today.
Amazing. And for those tuning in, please, I know I will be purchasing this book after this, because it sounds to me like something we can all implement very easily, no matter what the obstacle is ahead of us. And now I want to have a little fun, because I know all of you, myself included, is very interested in this cow facial recognition program. So I need to learn a little bit more about this platform, Aiden. So can you tell me why our food supply would care about the facial recognition of meat in our cows?
Well, I'll have to start, because I know that my team of AI people and people writing the algorithms and engineers, they're going to say, Aiden, it's not facial recognition. So I'll start by saying it's not quite facial recognition. It was at one stage, and then I was generating too much data. We look at cow recognition, so we recognize the whole cow, and then we watch what she does as she walks around the barn or outside. That allows us to see how much time does she have feed available. By the way, remember that all milking cows are all women. They're all females. She's not women, but female. So from that perspective, has she had feed available all day long? Was the feed pushed up? Was it kept close to her so it was available when she wanted to eat? Did she lie down? Did she have enough time lying down? If she doesn't, clearly, is the bunk uncomfortable? Is her bedding good? Should we be using sand instead of straw? Straw instead of, some people use water beds. So all of these things come into animal welfare, sustainability. If a cow lies down for more, she digests better. She produces more, less gas and more milk. So fantastic story around sustainability. And of course, productivity. Even though I'm sure you have enough money to pay for the milk, the ice cream, the, you know, whatever, the yogurt that you want. There still are people in the world who don't. So the ability to produce that milk more affordably is also important. But so it turns out cameras, not a very many of them. We use a camera probably every 100 feet, watching those cows, taking pictures every second, every 5 seconds, then digitizing it and using artificial intelligence to interpret what the camera sees, is creating extraordinary insights into those cows. So we've got farms in Wisconsin, Minnesota, California. We're about to install in one in Saudi Arabia. We have people calling us from Russia and China, Mexico, Brazil. So it's been a very exciting ride for me. I've got a team of young people who are very enthusiastic, who really want to change the world and obviously feed the world. And when you're involved in a startup that's doing something as important as this, not just interesting technology, but also critical for the world, I think it motivates everybody to feel, you know, to get up in the morning early and to go and do your job.
Incredible. This is so awesome. Well, Aidan, I'm so grateful for the opportunity that you took with me today. And for the audience tuning in, what is, again, the best way for them to purchase the book? And then what is the best way for us to follow you and connect with you further?
Absolutely. So the book, I have it on my LinkedIn page, my Twitter page. I also, it's 2143plan.com. So 2143plan. The book is available. I believe there's a discount. You would put in the code Aidan01 for people on the podcast. The book was originally $30. With that, you get it for half price. So just $15. And it comes with a full wall planner that you fill out. It's relatively easy to fill out, just a one pager. But still, as I think it was Mark Twain said, sorry for writing you such a long letter. If I didn't have time, to write a short one, even though it's only one page, to do it properly takes a little bit of time. But the value of doing it is amazing. It's amazing. So the best $15 you'll ever spend, 2143 plan, go and get it there. And if you want to find me, you'll find me on LinkedIn, you'll find me on Twitter, and I'm sure you'll find ways to put links to me through your own sites as well. But Ryan, it was a pleasure for me as well. Really enjoyed it. And thanks for your enthusiasm for supporting people like myself.
Of course. Well, thank you so much. And of course, thank you tuning in and joining Aidan and I today for another episode of How We Scaled. I know you're going to go over and purchase that book, connect with Aidan and myself on LinkedIn. It's always the best channel for our networking needs. And I cannot wait to see you in the next episode. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast there and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.